Jill Anderson is a North Shore naturalist, and she lives here in Cook County. Joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Well, as we march toward August, talk about toads on parade.
Okay. Oh, what a sight.
I'm kind of a big toad guy.
Me too. I'm really a big fan of toads too. There's nothing I like any better than going out to do something in my garden and be rustling around, you know, after things have grown up and they're pretty big and there's a lot of shade out there, and to lift something up and, oh, there's that big, beautiful, brown, speckled, warty toad just hanging out there enjoying all the buffet that...
I don't know, it sounds like a relative of mine. But... Go ahead, tell me about toads.
Okay, so Minnesota, here we have one toad.
Really, just one?
Just one, the American toad. And
well, that's good. I wouldn't want it to be a Canadian toad. Then we'd have to do something about it.
Yeah. So the toad is our one and only toad here. And they are, you know, so low-key, right? Toads are really not an in-your-face kind of creature.
No.
And that's part of what makes them so charming, I think. And they're important contributors to the web of life here. They, because they eat a lot of small insects and invertebrates of different kinds, as a meal, they provide other vertebrate species with a nice protein meal. So they're an important layer in the scheme of things of the food chain here. So we want to cheer them on in that regard. But in terms of their lives here, they, this time of year is something I always hope. It doesn't happen every year, but I always hope that I'll be lucky enough to experience the toadlet parade, is what I call it. And what happens is that we heard the toads trilling actually quite early this year, way earlier than typical, but they trill in the late spring, early summer usually around here. And they trill from little wet ponds and places where they are breeding. And once the mating's happened and the eggs are developed, then the females lay these strings of eggs in the shallow places of whatever wetlands they're breeding around. And about a week later, those eggs will hatch into tiny tadpoles, dark tiny tadpoles that...
Or in this case, toadpoles.
Toadpoles, okay, right. Pardon my mistake. Toadpoles. They will hatch into toadpoles, and those toadpoles are going to live in the in this wetland, hiding out, trying to be camouflaged among the, you know, leaves decaying at the bottom and all the debris. And it's a tough world in a pond. There's a lot of things looking to have a meal. And while they're in the pond, they, of course, like all toadpoles and tadpoles, have tails. And that's how they get around fast to get away from prey and so on. And toads eat algae. That's what they're eating. And so they grow quite quickly, because they're just munching. And as time goes on. So before long, sometime in July, they're going to be ready to make a change. And that change is called metamorphosis. And wow, I really can't imagine what that might be like. Because in the case of the toad, and we've talked about other things and their metamorphosis, in the case of the toad, they are going to go from an aquatic creature to a land-dwelling creature, from an algae-eating creature to an insect-eating creature, from a swimming creature to a hopping creature. So a lot of things are going to change. So they begin to grow their legs, and eventually they have their four legs, and their mouth parts actually are transformed. And once that transformation of metamorphosis has taken place, then they move out of the pond, still dragging their tails behind them. And they spend a fair amount of time then for a while around the edge of whatever wetland they've come from their natal ponds or pools. And they're going to be getting used to their new their new selves. I've often wondered, you know, what's it like the first day with the new mouth parts as a toad? I mean, it's got to be kind of weird.
Probably have to learn to talk all over again, right?
Yeah. So they hang out and get used to these new parts. And of course, they're not very adept at hunting insects, and they're tiny. They're still, you know, fingernail sized at the most while they're there. And so they're utilizing in this interim period when they're not very good at feeding themselves yet, they're utilizing extra nutrients from reabsorbing their tails. So I just love that. So nothing's ever wasted. Now I'm going to reabsorb my tail to get me through this kind of tough time.
Sounds very much like Einstein on the natural level here.
Really, yeah.
No matter is ever destroyed.
Right. And so once they've kind of used up all their reserves there, and things are getting pretty competitive, you can imagine by now, between all the other things that live around the edge of these pools, but also all their brethren and sistren who are, you know, congregated in the same area, things are getting tough. So there are then these mass movements of toadlets out into the territory. And on a number of occasions over the years, I have been blessed to have been going down a portage or on some little path, and fortunately looking down, and here they come. They're just everywhere, these little fingernail sized charcoal toads heading out, just going for it. They're not pausing and looking both ways. They are just going for it, all migrating off into the big world out there. It's just really a privilege to see something like that. And it's been a few years, and I'm hoping this year might be my year again. So go toads. They've survived the perils of the ponds, and now they're out into that great, big, dangerous world of the territory ahead. I wish them well.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand active little toads.
You're welcome.